Let me ask you a question as you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me ask you this one question. Do you know where you was on 9/11, 2001? Do you know what you was doing? Do you know what you thought and what you felt that first moment you turned on the TV and you saw some words maybe that you had never seen before, or at least in a long time? I'll never forget where I was, and I was carrying two glasses of orange juice, and we was on vacation. And I looked at those trade towers, and these words across the TV scene, hour after hour, America is under attack. The sobering and the shocking and the utter emptiness that you feel when you see those words and wonder, where are we going from here? What is going to happen? What is going to happen in this land? And then to know that it wasn't just two World Trade Centers, but it was on the Pentagon, it was on other locations. Because the reality is, before that day approached, we had little to no idea that there was an enemy out there. Others knew, but the average American had little to no knowledge that there was an enemy out there that was out to destroy every fabric and fiber of our American way of life, our freedom. People were doing the normal things of life on September the 10th, going to work, minding your own business, and maybe that particular morning, that was the way it was with you. Got up, got ready, had breakfast, and off you went, racing to beat the clock to get in and to get the work done that you needed to get done on that particular day. And all of a sudden, the world was changed. When we walked into Gatlinburg and went into the city, we came out to a different city. I believe every flag that they had was in and around and on some wall or on the walkways. Because we realized in that one day's time that our freedoms can be lost. We realized in that one day's time that there is an enemy out there that cares little about us, little about our way of life, little about what we stand for. And in that moment in time, we realized we were helpless in that situation. It was too late to do anything. We all just stood and watched in amazement as we saw the trade centers go down. We watched as we saw Pentagon as it went up in smoke, parts of it. But here's the reality. The enemy was long at work before that day approached. The enemy had a blueprint and a plan and a plot and had devilish and destructive pilots that had been training for some period of time. Their aim was precise. Their desire was deadly. And we found out in a short period of time what can and does happen when you're not prepared for the enemy. There is a sobering reality that parallels spiritually. Now, I don't know what will take place in America in the future. Only God knows that. But here's a reality about your life and my life, and it's this. Just as we face an enemy in this land, and we face terrorism, and we face all sorts of plots to try to destroy our way of life, Paul the Apostle in the book of Ephesians made it very clear that there is an enemy out there that is yearning and doing everything he can to destroy us. You know, we can't stop and imagine how many people's lives were destroyed. One estimate was close to 3,000. One estimate was 2,700 and some. But the reality of it is, there was destruction, and it was too late afterwards. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. There is an enemy in your life, and that fool does everything he can to foil your life. There is a real serious enemy, and here's the reality. It doesn't matter how long it takes him to get you, as long as he can get you. It doesn't matter how long, if he can get you to fall somewhere, someday, someplace, sometime, and your life be devastated. Now, I want you to listen to Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and I want you to just listen to verse 10 and 11. Paul is talking to the saints. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And then in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then if you'll turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, He's talking about this armor, this warfare that we face and the armor that we have. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking to the saints at Corinth, and he tells them this about the armor that they have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, listen to what he says in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In those two verses, Paul says to the saints of God, he says, you need to be ready for enemy attack. You need to be ready for that day the enemy is going to attack your life. And in light of everything that we've faced, what you and I need to do to be prepared. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear that there is going to be an enemy that's going to attack. Imagine how life would have been lived differently if the World Trade Centers had some sort of protection around them and they knew that the enemy was coming and they could have done something about those oncoming jets. How would life have been different for so many people? How would life have been so different for the world? How would life have been so different for you and me? Since then, we've developed homeland security in so many measures. Why? Because we're scared and because we know now that there is an enemy. He's not going to hurt us. He's not just out to do a little damage. He's out to kill. He's out to steal. He is out to destroy. And so the Bible makes it very clear that God reminds us that there is going to be an attack from the enemy. And you and I need to be reminded, first of all, that before the enemy attacks, there really is some time to be prepared. Now, when you go back and you understand the scripture, you understand this. God warns us over and over and over and over again that there's going to come a day in your life in which you're going to be attacked. The Bible says to put on the armor. Paul made it very clear, you need to put on the armor. Why? Because there is coming a day in your personal individual life, you are going to be under attack. At that moment in time, it's too late to get ready. At that moment in time, it's too late to put the armor on. You and I discovered on September the 11th, it was too late after the bombing. It was too late after everything happened. And there is a point in your life that it is too late. There is a point in your life. That's why we come together. That's why we read the Word, study the Word. That's why you hear me continually challenge you to be in the Word daily, regularly. Why? Because the time is going to come. So Paul made it very clear. And the call of God is that His people build their lives in the Word of God. Why is it so important to build your life in the Word of God? Because here's what Jesus told to the disciples. Listen to what He says. In Matthew chapter 7, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Listen, in the very attacks that Jesus faced, that Paul faced in their life, both of them, you'll find they built their life on the very truth of God Himself. Jesus made it very clear whenever He was encountering Satan, how He defeated Satan, He used the Word of God. Paul made it very clear how he used the Word of God whenever it came to his temptations in life and all the things that he stood. Jesus said, you need to be mindful. The winds are going to blow. It may be the winds of personal loss, relational loss, financial loss. It may be the loss of not only one, but multiple people simultaneously. I heard not too long ago, a husband found out that his wife and I think it was two or three children died instantly in a car wreck. You don't know when the day of attack is going to come. You have little to no idea in your personal life when it's going to happen. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to be living one day, minding your business, doing everything, and it's going to be somewhat like it was in Job. The winds are going to come. Job faced personal loss, relational loss, family loss, financial loss, all in one day's time. And you have no earthly idea when it's going to come. If the world had known when September the 11th and what was going to happen, we would have done some preparing, more so. The military would have been, but we didn't know. And God reminds you that you don't know. But He does remind you in the Word of God that is to build in the Word of God. Now, why build in the Word of God? Because there is only one thing that stands. There is only one thing that stands when the heat gets high, the pressure gets on, and that is how much of the Word of God gets into you. You know, there's a lot of people getting into the Word of God. But here's what I'm concerned about. How much of the Word of God is getting into you? How much are you allowing to be absorbed into your being, into your life, into your person? Because just as sure as I'm standing here, I know that every one of us are going to face some hellish attack, and the devil will do everything he can to destroy you. Had a pastor friend who shared with me just a few years ago. He said, Benny, I had a secretary that she did everything she could to get me to fall. And she wasn't ugly either. She was attractive. She was good looking by any stretch of the imagination. And she looked at me and he said, I know that she would have done, if I'd wanted to go a certain way, she would have done it. But he was in the Word of God. The Word of God was in him. And he allowed himself to build on the foundation. The Bible doesn't say just because you're saved by the grace of God, you're not going to get hit. You can't find that in the Word of God. You can't find it because it's not there. Jesus said there are going to come all manner of trials and temptations and persecutions. And so he reminds you and me, before the enemy attacks, the call of God is to get in the Word of God. The call of God is that his people put on the armor. Wouldn't it be silly for us to go to, if we could just see what's going on in Afghanistan and all what's going on in Iraq, that all of our military personnel just decided one day that they were just going to take combat a little lighter. They weren't going to put on any armor. They weren't going to put on anything. They were just going to wear their khakis because it was a lot more comfortable. Listen, we live in enemy territory. This is the enemy camp. The Bible says, the prince and the power of the air is the wicked one. And don't be surprised when you're tempted or that you're tempted. Sometimes I hear somebody say they're just really devastated or shocked that they're tempted and they're a Christian. You're going to be tempted. But the Lord reminds you, be of good cheer. He's overcome all the temptations. But the Bible makes you and me mindful that we need to put on the armor. Now, whenever you read this verse, Paul makes it very clear. He said, put on the armor. Now, how do you put on the armor? I found this to be a reality in my own personal walk. I've read this passage in Ephesians time and time and time and time again. And probably one of the best servants that ever explained it was Dr. Charles Stanley. He was preaching and he said, as he was preaching, he was talking about the armor of God. And he said, you know, I'm going to confess to you, I don't understand this armor. I don't understand how it works. But I loved what he said next. He said, before I get out of bed in the morning, when I'm still there in my pajamas, laying in bed, he said, Father, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. I confess, Father, I don't know how it works, but I put it on by faith. Listen, how many of you understand how salvation works? Not a one of us understand what happens in that moment of time you were saved. But here's what Paul says. The issue is not understand it. The issue is put it on. And one of the realities that takes place in our life is we don't put it on. Listen, the Bible makes it clear from the cradle to the grave, there is a constant warfare. I talk to some of the greatest men that I know that walk with the Lord. And I've asked them, I said, don't you reach an age, just sort of that you don't face spiritual attack? And I just like to hear what they say. You know why? Because we never reach an age you're not attacked. Listen. There's never going to come a time in your life, and that's why you need to be prepared for the enemy. It will be deadly if you're not. I want to tell everyone under the sound of my voice, because I know I'm accountable to the Father, it is going to be deadly, damaging, and damning if you're not ready for that day of attack. You will find your life blowing up in front of you. You'll find your family blowing up, and you'll wonder, what in the name of everything that's good is happening to my life? Here's what's happening. You came across a time in your life you wasn't prepared. You've not been in the Word of God, getting in the Word of God, letting the Word of God get into you. You've not put the armor of God on, so you're not ready. Do you know any Christians whose lives have blown up? I think of a lot. Paul even named some. He said Demas at one time was his fellow laborer, but over a little later he said, Demas, who loves the world, has forsaken me, has abandoned me. And you know people who at one time they were faithful Christians, faithful men and women of God, and they weren't prepared. They lost something, or they lost something close. Scripture makes it very clear. You and I need to have a time. The ultimate call of God through Paul is put the armor on. Now, I could take time and go through all the armor, but time won't permit it. And there will be a time that I do that. But here's what Paul said. Put it on. If I was going to combat, and a drill sergeant said, or a captain said, put it on. And I said, you know, that looks good. Let's talk about that armor, and let's discuss how that armor works. When you get in battle, friend, you put it on. That's why you need to use it, and you need to say, Father, I don't understand the armor. I don't understand how it works, but I'm going to put it on this morning. I can promise you this. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. For the next 7 mornings, if you'll get up and read Ephesians 6:10 through 16 and say, Father, I put the armor on, you'll find every day to be a different day. I can just promise you, because it does. It works all the time. Why? It's not human armor. It is the armor of Almighty God. Now think about it for a moment. When you're hit, you're not hit with something easy or light. You're hit with something sobering and real and hard. Imagine, and I don't know what type of mechanism would have had to been in place, but imagine if there had been some armament on the outside of those World Trade Centers that was able to withstand a jet attack. Wouldn't have done them any good. Well, it wasn't there, and they did fall. But here's the reality. The Bible says you have the armor of God. Isn't it sad that we don't have because we don't ask? We don't have the armor on us because we don't put it on. And the Bible says it's your decision to put it on. You have a responsibility before holy God to put the armor on. I have never seen a person's life devastated without them, first of all, paying disregard for the Word of God. No life is devastated. I've asked different people whose lives have blown up. I've asked this question, are you in the Word of God? Well, I used to read the Word of God. You know, I just can't understand the Word of God. But wouldn't it be funny if I said, I've got a book here, and there's some money in the end of it if you read through it. Change motivation, wouldn't it? Listen, the Father reminds you it's coming. And you see, here's the reality. When the enemy attacks, number two, his plans are well rehearsed. The reality of the enemy we face is that he deliberately used tactics and strategies to his advantage, and a lot of them are your weaknesses and our weaknesses. What does he use? Well, one of the things he uses against us is our fallen nature. Think about it for a moment. Anybody perfect in this building? Don't raise your hand. Every one of us are human. We're all on this same earth alike. Now think about it. Every one of us have a fallen nature. Now, let me just give you an example. Do you ever want your own way? That's a sign of a fallen nature. The Bible makes it very clear that Satan uses our fallen nature against us. He uses our body against us. And Satan's plans are well rehearsed. Listen, don't you think for one moment that when they bombed the World Trade Center that it was accidental. They just accidentally got up in the air. They just accidentally aimed for those. Listen, everything was deliberate and intentional. You need to understand everything the devil launches at your life is deliberate and intentional and purposeful. That's why he attacks you in your area of weakness. Men, you know what yours are. Women, you know what yours are. But the Bible makes it very clear. And over again, all throughout the world, Satan lures people with things and money and possessions, power, position. Why? Because our fallen nature is that we want to raise up. Second of all, he don't just use our fallen nature, but think about it. He uses our fallen body. The body that God's given us is a God-given body. And here's the reality. It's fallen. And what Satan does is, you know, you've got these desires and appetites, and he uses young people, and he tempts young people. Well, you know what? You've got a desire for sex. Go ahead and feel that. Nothing wrong with that. He uses our body against us. The Bible makes it very clear. He'll use your body against you. And you see all throughout Scripture, you find Satan using sex and pride and lust and coveting to lure people away. You remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, servant Joseph. He was minding his own business when Potiphar's wife said, why don't you come to bed with me? Now, I don't know if that will ever happen to your life, but listen to me real carefully. Somebody may even invite you to go to bed with them. Don't get shocked. Don't get surprised. Just respond godly. Joseph, a servant of God, heard the word. Why don't you go to bed with me? Now listen carefully. Satan's plans are well rehearsed, and I've said this different times. You remember this phrase. It's not original with me. It comes from someone far more insightful than I am. But you remember this phrase, halt. Don't you ever get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. People have made terrible decisions once they got too hungry in a particular appetite. Too angry, too lonely, and too tired. It's amazing how many people have shipwrecked their life. They made decisions when they were extremely tired. I've known preachers accept the wrong pastorate because they were tired and they made a decision out of the will of God. But, you know, not only does he use our fallen nature, he uses our body, but, you know, he uses our mind. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you answer this out loud. Do you ever have terrible, dirty thoughts? Do you ever have ungodly, horrible thoughts? Do you ever have thoughts that go racing through your mind and you think, oh, my word, where did that thought come from? Do you ever have those thoughts that you think, I don't want that in my mind? Listen, here's what you need to understand. And Paul said, that's why you need to put on the armor. The devil never will fight fair. And here's what he'll do. He will use whatever he can to put in your mind to tempt you. Listen, if you was on an elevator and you was going up to a certain floor and somebody was on there with you and they started using ungodly words and profanity and all that, you couldn't help hearing him talk. And that's the way Satan is. He'll put words and thoughts and images in your mind and he'll use your mind against you. I was talking to someone not too long ago. And here's one thing I asked him. I said, do you ever hear voices? And just as soon as I said that, he looked at me very funny because he was facing some mental voices in the fabric of his mind. Now listen to me real carefully. Do you think Satan attacks you in your big finger? You think he attacks you in your big toe? Do you think he attacks you on your thumbnail? He attacks you here in the fabric of your mind. Why does he attack you in the fabric of your mind? Listen. That's where God communicates to you and how he speaks to through his word. And so Satan wants to do all sorts of things to interfere. And he wants you to believe that half of those things are yours when you're trying to walk godly and holy and pure. Listen, the Bible says we wrestle. Paul said we wrestle. He's not talking about a physical match. He's talking about a bombarding mental match that you wrestle all of your life. You'll always face those mental darts because Satan knows well that he can't get you to fall without you listening to voices. He can't get you to give in to temptation until he lures you to some temptatious thought or some temptatious look. He can't get you to fall apart from your mind. No person ever sins without their mind being involved. That's why his plans are well rehearsed. Your wife's not paying you much attention. Your husband's not paying you much attention. And you go to work and somebody pays you attention. And you say, you know what, my spouse is a baby. And they say, well, mine's not paying me much attention. And all of a sudden, one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And you find yourself in dangerous territory. Why? Because he uses your mind against you. Folks, his plans are well rehearsed. And here's why. He wants to see you dead. Now, I want you to listen to that. The ultimate goal on September the 11th was destruction. The ultimate goal of your enemy is destruction. And that's why it is a big deal if you don't get into the Word of God. It is a big deal if you don't study the Word of God. Why? Because Jesus himself says the rains are going to come, the floods are going to come, the storms are going to come, and if you're not in the Word of God, if it's not in you, it will be too late then. Can you be 75 and fall apart? Yes, it don't matter how old you are physically. It matters how old and how long you've been in the Word of God. And you see, not only does it use our minds, but it uses our emotions. Think about it a moment. Sometimes somebody will come and they say, well, I just feel like doing this. I had a pastor friend who told me this, and this is a true story. And this man walked in his office. He said, I just feel like I need to leave my wife. I feel like the Lord's telling me to leave my wife. That's not a joke. And this pastor saw the seriousness on that man's face because he really felt like that's what he should do. Listen, there's a lot of decisions we make based on feelings. Nothing wrong with feeling, but listen carefully. Don't you ever make your decisions based on feeling. Well, let me give you a case in point. How many felt like getting up and getting ready for church this morning? Don't answer, because I know everybody will raise their hand. There are a lot of times you don't feel like. A lot of times that emotions will tell you one thing when the right thing and the wise thing is to do something else. So you need to be very conscious. What do my emotions say? Think about it for a moment. Eve had pure emotions. She was sinless. But Satan had a way of working on her emotions. And she was pure and perfect and hadn't fallen. So do you think that you can withstand since you have a fallen emotions? So he uses our emotions against us. And then not only does he use our emotions, but he uses friends and neighbors and relatives and even our family inside our house against us. Think about it a moment. And in the Gospel of Matthew, turn there for just a moment. You've got it in your outline, but turn to the Gospel of Matthew for just a moment. Matthew chapter 16. Now, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Jesus is getting ready to die on the cross. But listen to what Peter says in Matthew 16. Listen to the words of Jesus. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." Now, I want you to keep your finger there for a moment. I want you to look carefully. I want you to listen. Who was Satan using to hinder the very purposes of God? He was using someone in Jesus' own inner circle of friends. You be very wise as you listen to friends and family. Number one, can they say things that are ungodly and unwise? Can Satan use each one of us? Yes, he can. That's why you need to be very careful. You need to be very sensitive. Peter had no idea what he was really saying. He was really saying, "Lord Jesus, I don't want you to go to the cross." He didn't know he was being used. And you see, the truth about it is we need to be very careful. Sometimes we give advice, and it's so quick advice. We've not prayed about it. We've not thought about it. We've not pondered it. We just say, "Well, here's what I would do." No biblical basis for it. No biblical guidance for it. We just spout it off. Listen, the reality is we live in a fallen world and with a fallen body, with a fallen nature, among fallen people. And the society is not going to give you godly advice. That's why you need to be very sensitive, because the enemy's plans to destroy you. Sometimes somebody will have to make decisions, need to make decisions, and they'll come to me and they'll say, "Well, you know, my friends are telling me to do this." And they'll tell me what their friends are saying, and it's amazing how far from Scripture and how biblical, because most of it is gratifying self in the moment and satisfying self, not thinking about what does God say about the long-term ramifications of this decision. Listen, it don't matter how long it takes for the devil to get you if he can get you. I know a man who pastored one of the largest churches in the state of Kentucky. And if I named his name, some might know him. And somewhere evidently down the line, he evidently just put it on coast or didn't really think about the attacks of the enemy. And Satan used one thing, one weakness in his life to get him. And he was devastated. He resigned his church, lost confidence from a great deal of people who had wonderful respect for him, all because he must have, at one point, taken the enemy lightly. Now, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But here's the reality. You don't have weapons if you don't use them. Now, you need to deliberately answer this question. Every one of you. Every one of you. I pick the Word of God up and read it daily. Yes or no? I pick up the Word of God and I read it daily. Yes or no? I allow God to speak to me through His Word, and I listen to Him. Yes or no? I feel like I have His word in my heart. Yes or no? Because, friend, it's for keeps. Christians all over. And there's a lot of people today, believers, falling. Let me tell you this, when you fall, is there forgiveness? Yes. But God takes a lifetime to build a life. Are they rebuilding in New York? Yes. But the consequences of not being ready. The consequences of not being ready for the day of attack. Look at number three real quickly. When the enemy attacks, there is only two realities: standing or falling. Listen to what Paul said. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand. Why? Because there's only one other option. You don't halfway stand or halfway fall. You either stand or you fall. The evidence of biblical scripture makes it real clear. You stand or you fall. And you see, whenever you think about it, there's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Do you know anybody that almost fell? No. They fell. Or they stood. Preachers that almost fell? No, they either stood or they fell. Joseph found out in Genesis, here's the reality. He will either resist the temptations of Potiphar's wife or he'll give in to them. And here's the evidence of Scripture. How do you stand? First of all, learn the Word of God. That's why you have time. That's why you get in your Word. That's why you attend Bible study. Because I'm here to tell you, some of you here today won't be here 10 years from now. Some of you here today won't be here 5 years from now. You say, why do you say that, Pastor? Because there will come something in your life. There will be some tornado. There will be some storm. There'll be some crisis, and you'll be prone to say, well, if God loved me, He would have kept it from me. And the future of your life will be based on how much you were ready for attack. Let me ask you one question in closing. If your storm comes today, are you ready? If you get that phone call, I hate to tell you, but your spouse and your children have perished in a wreck. Now, I'm not trying to be gloomy, but I'm telling you this. Satan don't fight fair. And he will do everything he can to get your life. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding us through your word. We have days and opportunities to prepare for the storms of life, for the attacks of the enemy. Lord, we don't know when they're going to come or how they're going to come, but you just remind us they are going to come. And I pray, Father, that you would have your will and your wonderful way in this invitation. Draw lives to you, souls to you, is our prayer. And we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus we pray.